hello, and welcome to the Hollywood Outsiders special WandaVision After Ho. Today and each week after, we will be talking all about WandaVision, one episode at a time, what it means for the show, and also what it can mean for the MCU. These will be in the feed every Monday after a new episode, but if you supported us on Patreon at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider, you will get early access to these WandaVision After Ho episodes and additional amazing, excellent, fantastic content, including bad movie nights like Basic Instinct, which is actually not a bad movie and why we talk about it. So go ahead and support us at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Now let's get on with the show. My name is Amanda Sink, and today I'm joined by my fellow ho, Vinny Schwartz.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Wow, that is some enthusiasm.
I know. I'm just getting you excited.
Not only did you your own intro, you did mine with a bit of a sing-songiness to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just in the mood after this WandaVision episode.
I don't know. I mean,
it was Vinny all along.
Oh.
No?
No.
Okay. Well, keep in mind, I don't know why you'd be listening to this episode if you hadn't watched episode 7 of WandaVision, but we are full spoilers here, so.
Well, no, hold on. Let's be inclusive to those people who apparently will listen to episode 5 of this podcast without the previous 4, and, you know, what makes you think they wouldn't watch episode 5 of WandaVision without
so
the
So this
4?
Is a reference for anybody who is maybe just jumping in for this episode. Vinny seems to think that there's no reason people would just listen to one episode of this After Ho podcast series on WandaVision without listening to all of the previous ones. And I think it's completely possible that people might jump in towards the end when things are really starting to ramp up.
Okay, but like right in the middle, just right
yeah,
in the middle. Yeah, like,
when things
start
to get out of the sitcom and start to get into the theorizing portion of the show, yeah, people might.
Just listen to the last couple or listen to the very last one. Why the middle? You know what? If you do, let us know. I want to know why. I legitimately want to know why.
Just let them say thank you for them listening and let's move on.
I want answers.
Let's talk about what the hex is going on here. This is where we discuss our overall thoughts on the episode, any new characters, and dissect the plot points to figure out what's really going on. In this episode, we're talking about episode 7 of WandaVision, Breaking the Fourth Wall, written by Cameron Squires, directed by Matt Shakman, where Monica plots her return, Wanda navigates unsettling complications, and Vision forms a new alliance. Possibly my favorite alliance, Darcy Vision. A spinoff series coming to you soon on your television.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
No, but it's my desire. So if Marvel's listening, there you go.
Darcy and Wu coming to you from the Hex Files. Coming soon.
Oh, that's a really clever name. That's rude.
What, that I upstaged yours?
You did, and it's rude. I don't like it.
Oh, sorry. I'll let you have the next one.
Everything is changing in the Maximoff household, and we get a Stork return, which is unusual, but it's evident that Wanda is not the one controlling everything happening here. And I mean that beyond what we find out towards the end. Just her TV and furniture changing. Something's happening and she's able to reverse it, but her day is all thrown around. And she just needs some alone time since Vision is off doing his own thing.
Yeah, Vision's off actually trying to help people and she's just... She's that dog in the meme sitting in the fire. This is fine. Everything's fine.
Eating her cereal.
Yeah.
Her sugar snaps, which is a Thanos reference, if you didn't catch it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'd like to name my cereal after, something that caused massive trauma. That's fine.
I lost my grandma to the blip, but I want cereal.
And we see everything is constantly changing, going through different eras and configurations. So I think that it's not only her losing a grip on everything, but also because she expanded the hex so much that it's starting to push her powers a bit too much.
That's a good point. That's a good point. She just, and I think part of it too is she just isn't controlling everything. There's more going on here, but I agree. She can only, her capacity is only so much. And she's kind of given up on this day. Like, let's be real. She said, nah, I'm not even getting out of my robe today.
Yep. This would have been a good Malcolm in the Middle one, too, with the mom just going on strike, quote unquote. She's just, you know what? I'm just not going to do anything. We're going to just ignore everything and sit in my robe and relax. I mean, she even wakes up in her Halloween costume. And she even tells her kids that she knows that they expect her to have all the answers, but she doesn't. She doesn't know everything. She doesn't know why everything's happening.
She doesn't know where Vision is.
Right. So she's just beyond frazzled and deciding, you know what? I'm just going to take a break from all this craziness. I don't care what happens. It can all burn up. It can all come crashing down. I'm just going to sit here in my robe with my cereal.
We should also talk about the sitcom references to The Office and Modern Family, since those are the two shows that it's really trying to key in on, with that awesome opening credits sequence.
Right, and we see that at first it's all about Wanda, until the very end title card where you get WandaVision. So you can definitely pick up that she's like, okay, well, Vision's off doing whatever he wants. This is my show. And she even gives herself a nice little created by credit.
Plus, we get that nice little ransom note glimpse where it says, we know what you're doing, Wanda, in the credits, if you didn't catch it.
Yeah, it's kind of a blink and you'll miss it kind of thing.
With Vision gone and Wanda not knowing what he's doing, we get to see him with Darcy, my new favorite duo. Darcy, we didn't know what happened to her because they didn't really tell us, but she is an escape artist in the circus, which is amazing. And she punches a guy who's the same guy who did not get her any coffee, if you didn't notice. And they get to go on a road trip together. And I love it.
Would that be your show then? Them just driving around, chatting it up?
Yeah, like maybe they take the circus on the road and it's them leading the circus. And she just like randomly has to punch people to get them in line. Like, no, you don't talk to her like that. Pow!
I'm not sure that's quite the message Disney would want to put out there.
I'm not sure Vision would be on board with that either.
No. No, he would not. I think it's...
I want him to zap her so she loses her real self every once in a while. And she still thinks that he's trying to take her on a date. And she's like, fine, I will go on a date with you, creep. And then she changes like a few minutes later. And she's like, ugh, Vision, stop doing that. And it's just him messing with her.
So you want a show where the main protagonists mess with each other's minds and assault people.
Well, when you put it like that. Okay.
Yeah. That's a hard sell, but who knows? Maybe just, you know, sharpen up that pitch a little and they'll take it.
Anyway, there's a lot of fun stuff that comes out of their time together, but also a lot of dark stuff, like Darcy telling him all about his death times two, and he finally gets an understanding of what Wanda went through and how sad and tragic that was for her. But I love that he nopes the hell out of that truck. Like, nah, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, he kind of remembers like mid-interview, oh yeah, I can fly. What am I doing here? Like literally, what am I doing doing this interview with you, and what am I doing sitting in this truck like someone who can't fly? And he just phases through the ceiling and flies off for Darcy to sit there and be like, oh, okay.
Meet you there.
I guess I'll just hang out. See ya next episode. I also don't want to give up on the idea that she's some kind of important piece. Because it's just so weird that they waited this long to have the reveal, and then that neat little trick where she's the escape artist, and sure, there might be like trick chains, but she says it's not exactly in her wheelhouse, like it's not something she's all that good at, but then she just pops the chains off like nothing. And because Marvel likes doing stuff like this to people like me, who are going to overanalyze every little thing, is it a red herring? Who knows? We might even fake you out at one point. Agatha. But the buttons on her uniform have a five-pointed star, which is associated with witchcraft. So I don't know if that's just... I don't know if the costume comes with those already on it, or if that was a conscious choice. But I'm... That's going to be my wild theory, and I'm going to stick to it.
Well, we only have, like, two more episodes left, so we'll figure out your theory, if it's valid or not, real soon.
This is my one theory where I'm like, Charlie Day with all the red string, with all the pictures, like, it's got to mean something. It's got to mean something.
In the last episode, Monica and Jimmy managed to escape the hex, and they were on their way to meet up with whomever Monica's sword contact was, claiming to be this fancy engineer, but I don't think the person they met up with personally is the person she was referencing. I think that woman was just one of many in the team who is helping her out. But they find out in the car that Hayward is after Vision to bring him back and wants to get rid of Wanda. They find that out through Dr. Lewis's work, the email she did, and once they get to the sword contacts and they get this banging military grade truck, they try to get into the hex where that doesn't work to get through Westview, to get into Westview. And Monica's crazy self decides, I'm just going to run into it and see what happens.
Yeah. And we get that emotional part again where she's forcing her way through and she's slowing down. And it ties into the whole theme of the show, how this hex is Wanda's way to work through her own grief and trauma, and going through the hex barrier, Monica's working through her own,
right,
with the loss of her mother, until I think it's interesting that at the very end she hears Brie Larson as Captain Marvel's voice talking about her, and all of a sudden she has a look of determination and just punches through and gets a sweet new suit and superpowers.
Photon / spectrum, whatever they decide to go with. We have a superhero.
So my theory is that there is something that she needs to get off her chest to Captain Marvel. And
well, you're supposed to save this for the Vision where we talk about our theories.
Okay.
You silly goose.
Well, it kind of ties in with that part, but fine. I'll save it.
But how fun was it to see her on the other end after she powers through? And she comes up against Wanda to try to tell her, look, this is all about Vision. Hayward's trying to get him. And she's like, nope, once more, and throws her with her magic powers. And it was so cool to see Monica come back and be like, girlfriend, I got powers too.
So you're saying that she is the sassy best friend?
She is. She's very sassy. Like, when Wanda tells her, don't make me hurt you or whatever, she's like, do it then. And I was like, oh, girl, do it. I want to see a fight.
And I think that's actually something that Wanda's struggling with, is actually actively hurting people anymore, because she had to blow up Vision once, and that was awful. And then he got brought back, and then he got killed again. So even last time when she threw Monica out of Westview, like Monica even said, she threw her out, but she didn't hurt her. Like, she landed in a field kind of hard, but she was pretty much unscathed.
Yeah, it's clear that Wanda doesn't want to do evil. She's not the villain that the show, that Hayward has tried to make her out to be. And Monica even tells her that, like, that's the difference between you and Hayward, is you're not the villain. And I don't know. I think that's kind of sweet to show that she can do bad things, but she doesn't mean harm. She's just somebody who's grieving and unintentionally trying to protect herself, which might look bad on the outside, but she's not doing harm in a very real capacity.
Right. And like I previously said, Monica coming through the hex actually helped her literally move through her own grief. And it kind of has become part of her now, and it's what is going to form part of her character now. So it's not like she's forgotten it or tried to ignore it. It's part of her now. And she even tells Wanda that she needs to do the same. Otherwise, it's going to get worse.
Right.
And just before she can kind of break through to her, Agnes swoops in.
Mm. Yeah, she's like, oh no, don't, she's been through enough, and she takes her into her house, which is the first time we see Agnes's house. We really get a glimpse into Agnes at all. And the boys were supposed to be at the house, but when Wanda gets in, they're nowhere to be found. And there's a few things that are of note prior to us going into the basement. One is Senior Scratchy, we should probably talk about. The bunny is likely, in at least my theory, or should I be saving this too?
Well, it's not so much part of the future.
There's a good chance that it's real and happening now, but that Agnes's son, who now we know is Agatha Harkness, as she reveals in her very cute song, it was Agatha all along. Sing it with me now. And her character has a son that she doesn't have a good relationship with, and his name is Nicholas Scratch. And so Senior Scratchy, it's very possible that she turned him into the bunny.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. As you said, in the comics, they don't have the best relationship. They actually come to blows with Nick Scratch having children that become the Salem Seven, who work together to actually capture her and burn her at the stake, killing her at one point.
That's dark.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do?
Everybody has qualms with their parents.
Right? Who doesn't? I mean, you know, sometimes you just want to gather up your kids and be like, all right, we're going to get grandma and tie her to a big old pole and set her on fire. Because we have unresolved issues.
But another couple things that are of note. One is the fly, and that could be...
Cicada.
I'm sorry, cicada. That could be one of the boys. And my other thought is that the other one is that there, even though we see the bunny there, and I think we presume it's Senior Scratchy, I think that she turned Tommy into a bunny also. Because there was like a little spot on the side of Senior Scratchy, and Tommy was holding the bunny earlier in the episode. And that same spot wasn't on the bunny that we see later on.
And watch that be one of the few things where they're just like, oh, we just had two different bunnies on set that day.
I would be so annoyed.
But sometimes they'll do stuff like that. They'll purposefully mislead you, mm-hmm. which I kind of get it. I mean, it works. I think that kind of actually started with Infinity War's trailers where they showed some things happening, like Thanos had less gems, Hulk was running in Wakanda. Then we get to the movie and those things are not true. It's like, oh, well, that was to preserve the story and hide some of those things. So I get that. And just like last episode where they threw me off. I wavered for a second, like, maybe this isn't Agatha. And she's like, Vision, you saved me. Everything's bad. But no, she was just playing possum.
You did bring that up, though. You're like, what if she is just pretending?
Did I or did you?
No, you did.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll take it. I'll get a plus one in my column. That's fine.
No, I mean, sure. Yeah, I hedge my bets. And when you throw out every possibility, you can't be wrong, right?
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I could definitely see her. Well, as we talked about before, the kids in the comics are actually made with fragments of Mephisto's soul, so there's a possibility they're already gone.
Yeah, there is that possibility.
Which, if that's the case, it's going to get real. It's going to get real, real.
Yeah.
It's going to get cray cray.
Yeah. Well, so we go into this basement because, and Agnes, aka Agatha, leads her there intentionally because now is the time where she wants to reveal to her what's been going on. And she tells her that the boys are probably playing in the basement, and she goes down to this creepy lair, which is obviously not within the Westview hex.
No, you don't normally have vines growing through your underground
skulls
labyrinth.
And purple magic everywhere. Yeah, no, I don't. But when we get down there, we get a glimpses of a few things. One, there is like a skull devil looking icon on the wall, which could lead to the Mephisto idea again. And we also get a glimpse of this book in the basement, this magical book.
Which, you know, people are speculating it could be several different books that have popped up in Marvel Comics. One of them being the Darkhold, but that one has already appeared in The Runaways and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it looks very different. So the theory that I like the most, and it could be something completely different, and they just made it look different, or it could be something exclusive to the MCU, who knows. But it could possibly be the Necronomicon. Yes, that Necronomicon.
Black magic!
Bruce Campbell cameo when?
But this book allows people to summon demons. And this could be a way to summon Mephisto if Mephisto isn't here already.
Right. He could be on some other plane of existence, and this is how we get him to this one. Or this could be how it opens up several different planes or multiverses, as we've been talking about throughout the show, and they're gearing up towards, obviously, with the new Doctor Strange and...
And the commercial we get in this episode.
Right. The Nexus commercial. Nexus being... The word itself usually means a center point for different converging paths, which makes sense in the broad scheme of things, but also the Nexus being guarded by Man-Thing is a focal point for all, if not most, of the different multiverses in the Marvel comics. So again, another thing pointing to the multiverse. And it mentions that it can anchor you in back to your reality, or a reality of your choosing.
Yeah, and then just to piggyback to the Nexus commercial, that is also a reference to Nexus beings, which Wanda and Vision are Nexus beings. But the book, and my theory is that the book, and I think a lot of people have this theory too, is going to bring Mephisto into this universe. And I know there's some speculation that it might be too late because we're already in episode 7, but that's not necessarily true.
Right, because those who are unaware, because I wasn't super familiar with the term, but a Nexus being is someone who can actually alter the future, even if it's already written, which, you know, a lot of time travel stuff, even with the comics, if something happens in the future, it's pretty much going to happen. Like, even if you go back and change it, that thing actually creates your future that was already set in stone, or it just creates a separate reality. Well, because of Wanda's crazy powers, she can actually rewrite reality, which will change the future. So I think that also plays into the whole thing where her power might be used for someone's greater evil, either directly or they're siphoning off her power, which could also explain why she can't control everything so well anymore.
Right. And that book does have some connections where it's been in the hands of Wanda and Agnes before.
Right. In the comics, it has been various people's possessions.
And Doctor Strange.
Yeah, including those characters.
Right. So when we get down there, aside from the book, then we have the really cool moment where Agnes, aka Agatha, reveals herself to Wanda. She uses her magic and basically puts this, I don't know, clip montage together of all of the things that have been her doing all along, which was magnificent and super catchy.
Right. I thought it was interesting that, you know, she is doing all this, but I think she's the one, she's not the main big bad. I think she's helping them, but
yeah,
I feel like she's the one who set up the whole show thing. Because if she's not in frame, apparently Wanda didn't notice, including this episode when she's the one interviewing her. And at one point, she actually speaks up and Wanda's like, "You're not supposed to talk."
Yeah. And I don't believe also that it's Agnes or Wanda that created the hex. Because Wanda's already said and alluded to, she has no idea how this all started. And at no point did Agnes mention that she created this whole thing. However, where she's at is quite particular in terms of her, you know, if she brought Wanda there, because this lair was probably already there.
Right. Well, and even in her montage, you see her touching down in Westview and then changing to match the scenery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think she created this little pocket dimension, but I think she had a hand in, like, the TV aspect.
And also manipulating characters. I mean, we wondered about that, too, about what her role was, and apparently it was to manipulate people like Herb, the neighbor, and even Pietro, who is apparently not really Pietro. I mean, well, I shouldn't say apparently. We all kind of knew it wasn't really Pietro, but now we have more confirmation.
And she killed Sparky.
And she killed the dog! Insert maniacal laugh.
Right? Like, just to really bring it home, like, hey, I'm actually pretty evil. Like, as a sly, campy wink, but also, no, she killed a dog. That's pretty messed up, man.
We should also talk about and note that Agatha Harkness is not necessarily this evil in the comics. And although Wanda and her have not always been pure allies, they've never been true enemies. So the direction that we're seeing Agnes, aka Agatha, go into in WandaVision is much darker than how she's been in the comics towards Wanda.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but I don't think she killed any dogs in the comics.
So that's important to note.
Yeah, it's messed up.
It is messed up.
And then we get the stinger, finally.
So if all of you have been now conditioned to not even skip and go into the after the 14-minute long credits, you would have missed something because there was a mid-credit scene.
Like me. Because this whole time, they're like, nope, you don't get one. Like, oh, okay, well, then I'm not going to stick around. Oh, just kidding. There's one now.
Haha. Yeah, and that one was actually pretty cool because Monica finally, she decides to go over after Wanda has had this revealed to her. She goes over and she's trying to get into the house and she finds this storm door to get into the basement lair where Wanda and Agnes presumably are. And when she opens it, she sees all of the vines and the purple magic and her eyes turn purple. So there's obviously some Agatha magic that has now touched her, tranced her, whatever it is. And then
Uncle Peter pops up.
What are you doing over here?
Yeah, and it's just really bizarre because we don't see what happens to him after the last episode. He just kind of...
He got his ass beat. Yeah, and then
he doesn't come back. And Wanda even says earlier in this episode that to the kids that that was not their uncle. So she even believes, like, that's not my brother.
Vision makes a comment too. Who is that imposter, Pietro? Everybody is recognizing that he's not who he was. And Agnes did the whole magic thing behind him when she showed her glimpses. Part of it was her, I don't know, her working her magic and controlling him, corpse puppeting him around.
Right. So I don't know, because it was just like magic trailing off his back. So I don't know if she's controlling him or if she's creating an illusion around whoever that really is to look like how he looks.
Well, Wanda did get a moment where she saw him as his dead body.
Right.
So,
and
it feels like a vision moment where it's corpse puppet, to take your words.
Right. But again, then we go back to the part where Vision steps out of the hex as far as he can, and he doesn't appear that way outside of the hex.
Yeah.
So he does start to be slowly disintegrated and pulled back in, so we're not sure.
That's true.
Like, how well he'll do without this magical cover, but he doesn't look that way anymore, at least as far as we can tell. So we're not 100% sure what's going on here yet. And again, this Peter has incomplete memories.
Mm-hmm.
And he has some of the wrong memories.
And he's got the wrong face.
The wrong face, right.
Yeah.
As your favorite character pointed out.
She recast Pietro?
But yeah, he even knew some things, like how he mentioned, not only callously, that Vision already died, but Vision died after he died. So how would he know that?
Right. I mean, the whole thing has not been great since day one, where we knew there was something nefarious going on. But now we have confirmation that he's not the real guy.
Right. So the question is, who is he? And who sent him?
Yep.
Because Agatha may have been pulling some strings, but maybe he had nothing to do with her prior to being in Westview.
Yeah, that's possible, I suppose. Well, let's talk about what we see going forward and how it connects to the MCU in The Vision. Vinny, first start us off with your theory that you were mentioning earlier.
So we have that moment where Monica finally breaks through the hex barrier after hearing Captain Marvel talk about her, you know, that clip from the movie, and she has this look of determination and breaks through, and maybe coincidentally, maybe not, manifests powers that in the comics, at least, are somewhat similar to Captain Marvel's. So if she has anything similar to hers in this universe, again, we go back to that moment where they bring her up when they're talking about, well, Wanda stood up to Thanos alone, and she would have won if he didn't call in a bomb strike. And then they mention how Captain Marvel was the only other one who went toe-to-toe with him and quickly cut that off. So I think after hearing that, she has like this moment where she's determined to get through this, get this resolved, and there's a part of her that wants similar power to her so that she can go out and find her and confront her for whatever she's holding on to. So I think eventually, maybe even in the next Captain Marvel movie, they're going to finally meet up and she's going to have it out with her either in words or superpowers. But I think she definitely is holding on to something that she needs to get off her chest, which has manifested now in her having crazy powers.
Yeah, it definitely seems like she has some unresolved tension between her and Captain Marvel, which goes back a bit. You know, I'm more solidified in that concept now after watching her character go through. Because at first I thought maybe it was like some just sad emotion related to it. But now it feels like there's something that she needs to confront her about. So,
and again, it could just be as simple as like, why weren't you there while my mom was dying?
Right.
But yeah, we'll probably get to see that somewhat soon.
So now that we have another superhero in the mix, who do you think is going to be working together by the end of this series, by the end of WandaVision? Do you think Wanda is going to be working with Monica? Or do you think Wanda and Agnes are going to work together? Or maybe another combination you can think of?
Well, it really depends on how they decide to go with this story. Either Wanda's going to be used to open this nexus unwillingly, or she's just going to break and still be unwilling, but she's going to be slightly more antagonistic just because of the stuff they're going to put her through. Like I said before, if the twins are gone and then Vision isn't necessarily all the way on her side, at least not in her mind, like he's going to want all this to end, to let the people go, you know, to do the right thing that he knows to be the right thing, but it's going to be something that's going to hurt her because she wants to stay here with him. So if they push her far enough, she's probably going to view him as not being on her side. So if it's the way where they're just using her and then cast her aside, I think she will end up working with Monica and Vision and maybe the boys, if they're still around, to battle Agatha and whoever she decides to bring through the Nexus.
So do you think that the twins are alive and in another form? Do you think they've already been sacrificed for Mephisto, for him to consume part of his soul back? What do you think has been going on with the twins at this point?
I think they're still around. I think, like you said, they've just been transformed into animals, and they'll be used later. But yeah, and then if we go that route, like I said, and Wanda sees that, she could have that moment where she just snaps. Right. And then I think if they go that route, it will still unleash Mephisto or whatever greater evil they were trying to bring out. But I think if they do that, that's when Agatha will be like, oh, I done goofed. Maybe we should try to fix that. Which I'd like to see because, like I said, I want more Catherine Hahn in the MCU.
Who doesn't? She's so fantastic.
Right?
Huh. Yeah, well, that's what I agree is going to happen. And I think Mephisto will be coming up soon. I think we've had way too many insidious implications or them alluding to it for it to not happen at this point.
I mean, maybe you're right. And he is somehow this fake Quicksilver. Like, either he's possessing a body or he's controlling him or something.
Yeah.
Just, again, it's so weird that they used a different Quicksilver.
That's one of the questions that I'm hoping we get resolved in the next episode. Because if they take it to the last one, I don't know, that seems weird. Because they've made too many... And I feel like this mid-credit scene is also them trying to foreshadow that they're going to be addressing it soon. Because they've made so many remarks about Pietro in this episode.
And a fun thing about that mid-credit scene that people pointed out is that mid-credit scenes like that really weren't prevalent until the 2010s, which is the era we're in. As well as the reason that S.W.O.R.D. has lost connection to the show, possibly, is that now we've switched over to the digital age. And for all you kids out there, there was a time where before that, we had these big old tube TVs.
And heavy things.
And we used antennas. And we had to walk uphill both ways to get to the store. And then we switched to digital and either you had to buy crazy, convoluted, borderline expensive converters or just switch over to all digital. So... because S.W.O.R.D. was still using the old school analog TVs, they don't have the new signal.
Right. Yeah, we haven't seen too much of Hayward S.W.O.R.D. in this episode, so I'm sure we'll get back to that in the next episode, too.
And it's interesting that you say Hayward S.W.O.R.D. because there is definitely that division between those who are loyal to Monica and her mother's idea and those who follow along with Hayward. This could lead to the creation of another... quote-unquote supervillain group from the Marvel Universe, which is AIM, which they kind of teased at a little bit. People were thinking that Hive Mind, I'm still calling them that, was reminiscent of the AIM uniforms, which kind of look like beekeeper uniforms. So maybe that was a hint, after all, that this faction of S.W.O.R.D. could splinter off and make something new.
Huh. Maybe. That's a good idea. Or theory, I should say.
Right? So if they did do that... you're welcome, Kevin, and I will be expecting my check soon.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of WandaVision After Ho. Remember, you can find The Hollywood Outsider on Facebook and LinkedIn, even under that name. You can find us on Instagram at The Hollywood Outsider, on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. You can find all of our reviews and other content on our website at TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Make sure you subscribe and share this show with your friends on any podcast app that you like to use. And remember, the next time you watch WandaVision, on your couch, buy popcorn. It was Agatha all along. You know, I've been singing this in my head, like, endlessly.
Oh, boy.
Like, I'll just be... peeing in the bathroom and I'll be singing it in my head.
Oh boy, you're gonna start looking up remixes on YouTube.
I know. And you know that was Catherine Hahn who actually sang that, right?
Oh really?
Yeah.
I thought it might be.
Yeah.
That's fun. One of them being the
necromanicon necronom
the menomina.